in all of my projects, I have a role, but I'm not married to it. Like on all my TV shows, there's a role for me, but whether or not I play it, I just want to see the show get done and on the air. So yeah, yes. I'm creating a pathway for myself as a producer and a director and a content creator.
Hello and welcome to Leading Ladies, Past, Present, and Future, an interview podcast produced by Heap Entertainment that champions the stories and careers of women in entertainment and entrepreneurship. I'm Antoinette Westcott, your host, here with my co-host, Renee L. Page.
Hello, hello, hello.
On our show, we speak to women who have trailblazed a path and carved out a space for themselves within industries that don't traditionally afford them a seat at the table. Through these conversations, we hope to inspire listeners like you to pursue the career you want while making sure you have the right resources and advice to help you succeed. This week, we have Jacqueline Fleming, aka Jackie, joining us. Jackie is an accomplished actress, producer, writer, content creator. You graduated from Columbia Film College in Chicago, where you started training in theater and dance. And then upon graduation in 97, you moved to Hollywood to pursue your dreams, and you've been in over 100 films and have been seen everywhere. Fast forward yes. to now, you have many success stories. You have your own acting studio, and you've been on several amazing movies and TV shows. You've won many awards. The list goes on and on.
Yes.
And I recently yes. just met you on a film that I worked with both you and Renee on called Deadfall, which is your directorial debut, correct?
Yes.
Yes. Well, welcome to our podcast, Leading Ladies.
Thank you so much, Leading Ladies.
Yes, thank you. Thank you for being here.
I appreciate the invite, and I'm looking forward to hanging out with you guys this morning.
Oh, yes.
Well, when we came up with the title, Leading Ladies, the first person that popped into our mind, Renee and I were like, we got to have Jackie on. Like, no doubt.
Yes.
I appreciate that. I even appreciate that you seeing me in that particular light in Hollywood, and means a lot to me. Thank you.
Yeah. Yes. What was it like being directing for the first time? Were you nervous? Because I want to step into those shoes myself one of these days. Mm-hmm. And do you have any advice or what you went through?
Yeah, sure. First of all, I just want to say, because COVID changed a lot of things. And during COVID, I took the opportunity. I wanted to go to film school, but I didn't. It was like COVID, I think, happened. And I was looking at different film schools because I've been in front of the camera acting, my entire life. And then I kind of always had a desire to produce, and got a little taste of it here and there, and creating content a little here and there. But I wanted to go to film school just to learn, like, the business side of producing, take some directing classes, do all those things. And it didn't happen. When COVID hit, I put myself in a film school per se. I was like, I could only twerk so much. I don't know how to dance. What is it that I can do to be productive during COVID? And I created a film school for myself, based off really the curriculum at the regular film schools. And I started with building this set and finding a script. And I said, I'm gonna find a script, produce it, find the money, build the location or find the location, direct it. It was just like this whole plan that I had. And what I could say is that I didn't have any experience. I didn't have anyone really to mentor me on that. I kind of just was feeling my way. So 2 years into this now, I guess March will be year two. I went out there and we directed the project, but I'll tell you this, I was so busy producing the project. I didn't really have an opportunity to direct, but in editing the project, I'm learning a lot. And I'll say this for anyone that's pursuing a project as a director, is just being very clear on the project, that being very clear on what you're shooting. There were three things that I learned from this. ADR can save your film if you don't have time to get the footage you need. Shoot your meat and potatoes. Make sure you get the critical scenes in the project. That's the heart of your project and tells your story. And there, I should have, there was a scene that I really needed to get, and I wish that I had, you know, gathered with the producers and pulled together, just like the DP, the gaffer, and the first AC, to see if I could complete this particular scene, because it was so critical. And to make sure the crew that you're hiring is enhancing you and supporting you, because if not, you're fighting against things on set. So I think the directorial experience was really incredible. I had a really supportive team, including you and Renee as an executive producer. So yeah, there were just a lot of things that I learned, and you know, making sure that you get like your coverage, making sure you get your inserts and your specialty shots that you need. The editor is crucial. Your sound is crucial. Your color is crucial. All your post is crucial. It's going to help make your project. And so, if you know, as a director, everything matters. And I, at my biggest lesson that I learned is, do not hire actors who, for me as a director, I can't speak for anyone else, I don't want to particularly work with actors who are not seasoned in their craft, because it's a nightmare in editing.
I love that. So,
I love that.
You know, I'm going into producing my own first short, and hearing that from you, would you get like those must-have shots that tell the story that you're saying you may not have got, or those inserts, or do you make those a priority to get like day one, day two, and then that's how you create your shooting schedule?
Absolutely. You definitely want to get those necessary shots. Obviously, like if you have an actor out of town, you're going to work around their schedule, but you have to get the critical shots. Like I had an epic fight scene that I wanted to get, and I didn't get the opportunity to get that. And it really sold my lead actor as, you know, this particular action star, and kind of tied things together at the end, making him a hero. And to sacrifice that is horrible. And part of it was one, you know, just having a team around you of producers, because you're doing so many things as a director, that know what's critical for you, and they can say, wait a minute, guys, can we all do 1 hour overtime? Is everybody willing to stay? Are you willing to stay? We have to get this shot, you know, if worst case scenario comes and you're running late. But get it first. Get what you need first, your meat and potatoes. I went out, I did a 16 and a half editing session yesterday on the project.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I got home at 3 a.m. I started at 9 a.m. On, you know, and when I go into editing, it's usually 12 to 15 hours. And like I said, it's partly, if when you hire actors that aren't, as seasoned, and we're all growing, sometimes the continuity doesn't match, or sometimes you found a really good take, but you can't use it because one of the actors isn't completely, it isn't the strongest performance. And so it just will get a little challenging.
Yeah. Like I feel like I get Clint Eastwood's like one take, like that's how good I need you to be as an actor.
Yeah. It's really serious. Like I've worked with directors before as an actor that are like, we're going to do one take and then one take for safety. And actually moving into this, I was pretty ambitious. That's really what my objective was, to do one take and move on. And I had explained that to all of the cast, literally when I hired them, that we were going to be rolling fast, 34 scenes, 2 days, and some location moves. It was really going to be one take. And I was moving. And unfortunately, I think what's really important too as a director is that you sit down with your cast, do a table read, and make sure that your leads are off book and they have crafted their character. I'm about to literally star in a movie, right? a film. I start production April 1st, and I meet with the director and the cast at the end of the month. The director, she's a huge festival director, and we're all doing a table read. We're all doing, we're doing a workshopping of the scenes, and she is not playing around, and she's doing marketing. She's doing photos and footage, and she's already putting her marketing materials together in advance, but she's not playing around because it's such a serious project. The acting has to be there. She's not sacrificing that.
I like that.
That's excellent.
I wish I had the opportunity to have done this on this project. I did it with a couple of the actors, but I didn't have an opportunity to do it with like two of the actors. And you can see in the film, unfortunately, you could see the difference in performances. So as a director, if you get a chance, do it and workshop it.
But you have a good eye, though. One thing I can say about you, you have an excellent eye, because I got the privilege of looking through it. You know, you send it to me, I'm like, whoa. Like, you have an
Speaking of editing, do we have a final cut ready and all your
We have a rough cut. I just sent it over to Renee, and please feel free to view it. Okay. It's the third rough cut, and you know, now the next phase is color and special effects and sound. And ADR with the talent coming into the sound studio to you know, do professional ADR. But please feel free to look at it and, you know, give me your feedback. I'm definitely open to that.
Yeah, because when I was, I was like, wow, this is nice. So, you know, not to, you know, spoiler alerts, but it is just you have a great eye. So, you know, you may not have been so happy with the acting, because I know that you're acting coach and things like that, and you groomed one of the great Jason Mitchell. So I know, but you have a great eye, and you have a way of taking like beginner actors and making them a star, as you say, a diamond in the rough. So you are very good with that. So like I said, when I viewed it, I was like, wow, this is just the rough cut and just things. But you know what made it really good when I looked at it? The volume was off, and I saw the story. So that's directing. If you can look at something and you don't hear it and you can watch it, it tells a story. So, cause I was like, where is this now? And I could see what was going on. So, so I saw your vision. So congratulations on that, but you have an excellent.
Yeah. And I'll tell you this too, like the whole purpose of like shooting this, and I can't wait to do a sizzle from it, was to just show for me as a director, show my investors, and take a sizzle of this to say this is what the series would look like. And it's crazy because yesterday I pitched, this past week I pitched five TV projects that I developed over to a network, and for their upcoming pitch season I sent over my slate. And they invited me to come back, and I'm excited. Oh, that's
fantastic. Congratulations.
And Deadfall, the pitch deck will be done for that. And, you know. Good.
Since I'm going to be going into producing, Renee's created, that's how I met Renee, on her short that she did. How do you get distribution, or how do you, are you able to pitch to different networks like you've been able to so luckily? Or it took a while?
Yeah, it did. I think it was 6 years ago, I worked on a project, and I ended up telling the producers, you know, we were shooting the project, and I kept saying, you know, this character should be a series. This character should live as a series. And I've always wanted to do a series and be a content creator. And I think like a few years prior to that, I created a TV show and I shot the pilot for it. And I just, that's just been my conversation. I would like to be like how Issa Rae is creating content. So I started to keep content creating. And as I did that, I synced up with some heavy producers who are at my parent production company, who do all action movies. And through interning with them for years, I learned about distribution on the film side. I learned about producing on the film side, packaging on the film side. And then that's for film, which is completely different from television. Television's on the platform or the network, whether or not you know, how they run their distribution. Like some platforms will buy, you know, your show that you've already shot and stream it, or some people will, you have to go in and they produce it, but you get pitches. You can get the pitch meetings via festivals, via your representation, your literary reps. So I have a relationship with a couple of platforms now, and I was able to go in and pitch. I have another, I'm excited. I'm on my second round of a pitch on Zoom tomorrow, and on my second round of Zooms with that particular TV showrunner and production company to possibly co-collab on one of my television projects.
Well, that's amazing. Well, I'm just glad that I met you on Deadfall, because there's every single person, like I feel like I've either knew going into it, like I knew Renee, I knew Laz, you know, Bernadette, who I didn't know was going to be on set and was one of the producers. It like, I felt like it was a family, and like, cause like I knew people and that they knew you and all these new people that I got to meet. And I think some of the best connections that I've been able to reach with people was through Deadfall, the filming.
Well, you know, it's funny that you say that, because for Deadfall did have a lot of connections for people. And as I'm pushing forward to get a television series picked up, on my vision board, there are several people from Deadfall that I pray would be available and want to be on board, you know, this series. I mean, you were unbelievably... such an asset to a film producer. You saved my butt. Nancy saved my butt. Our script supervisor, Felicia. And, you know, it was some incredible women on this project. Renee is one of the executive producers. And I promise you, like, I want to bring that over to a series, and you want to direct and give other people opportunities to step in and direct this episode, and, you know, or write this episode. Like, I need a top television writer, you know, a screenwriter. And I'm just, like, I've written two projects that have been optioned with two of my colleagues that were on Deadfall, and one is getting ready to go into production, feature film, and the other one is being shopped right now.
That's awesome. Yeah, that was a lucky...
Yeah, the relationships with the women, priceless.
Yes.
So, and Bernadette and I developed a television project together as well. I actually pitched it over to Acquisitions, and I'm really excited about it.
Oh, yeah. Cool. Well, so what made you want to go from in front of the camera to behind the camera finally and take that step?
For me, I'm just doing both. I wouldn't know what to do with myself if I wasn't acting. I love being an actor. And I was supposed to play the role of Grace. But in my project, Deadfall, I had written it for myself to play that role. And I was going to hire another director. But my parent production company that does these action movies, they were like, you have to start directing. So I kind of got thrown into it. I didn't want to direct this. I got thrown into it pretty much. And but in all of my projects, I have a role, but I'm not married to it. Like on all my TV shows, there's a role for me. But whether or not I play it, I just want to see the show get done and on the air. But in my two films, I have starring roles. So yeah, yes. I'm creating a pathway for myself as a producer and a director and a content creator, just creating opportunities for myself and others. And I created two kid television shows because I used to coach, I used to have an acting studio for a very long time. And then when I closed the acting studio, I was private coaching like five kids. I had five kids that were been with me for years. They've all blown up. They're all on television. One was just starring in a movie as Jason Mitchell's daughter. So I haven't, you know, coached, or I had another one that starred on Blackish. Like I have not been with, unfortunately, and the other one was on a Netflix series that Ava DuVernay did. So like all my five are like celebrity, you know, kids or teens. And so I haven't worked with them probably since maybe July, because I was so busy focusing on everything that I was trying to do. But what I've done is developed a couple of sitcoms, and I'm actually going to be sending over a query to see if there's interest from like two of the actresses that I
grew up. Oh, that's awesome.
See if they would be interested in starring on the show, like to their reps. So, you know, and that's where I want to go with the, you know, with that.
Yeah. You are an inspiration. I love all this wealth of knowledge you're giving me and what I've learned from Renee already. You're like, you know, I look up to you guys. who along your way getting to where you have now that was a role model for you or a mentor that you had?
I'd say my mom, one of my stepmoms, Sylvia Small, she was my mentor. She was a school teacher and a storyteller. She inspired me. And my sister, you know, all of my sisters have inspired me. And in the industry, I would say really Wes Miller, my creative partner at the production company. He's the one who said, look, get out there, create this content, be a content creator. And get into directing, get into producing, and work hard every single day to make your dreams come true. I've literally, this kitchen table here, I've been sitting at this table for 5 years, working tremendously long, like on pitch decks and everything. I've literally been sitting at this kitchen table for quite a minute, grinding. So
yeah, I enjoyed the one that you did with Hell on the Border, like with the Bass Reed, mm-hmm. like that character, like you really took that character. I was like, wow.
You put a star on your chest. You're the target.
No, it's been the target. There's no difference.
You trying to make with me? I can just leave right now. I'll save you the trouble.
I'm not trying.
Let go of me, Bass George, please. Let me alone. We're doing just fine with you on the farm and walking with the marshal on occasion. Why now, Bess? Why?
Because we got six souls sleeping in the next room.
So, Hell on the Border, that was really, like, one of my favorites that Wes did. And then you did Atone. I like that too, but
Atone was his first project. And okay, that fourth film later, he's starring with Bruce Willis, Frank Grillo, Matt Dillon, like an all-star cast. Wow.
But you can see the growth. You can see from Atone to Hell on the Border. Like, I was at work watching that because I shouldn't be saying that, but I was watching that and I was like, wow. And I kept hearing Renee. I was like, oh my goodness, but it was so good. It was you have to see it, but it was so good. I believe it's on Netflix and it's on Amazon. So you have to see it, but thank it you. Was just awesome. You could just see the growth from Atone to Hell on the Border. You could just see the growth between the two films.
Yeah, so. And to go from Atone, the project that we did, a short independent project, his film where I first met him, to where he is three films later, I've every day single-handedly watched the growth. It inspired me beyond belief. And I'm looking around with my first project, Deadfall, and seeing where this can go on the next film and the next film. If you put the work in, the growth is going to happen. And that's what the game is about. Wes told me is about elevating. When you see people and their each film is on the same level or their acting stays on the same level, then there's no growth. He said, your goal is to continue right. to grow in this industry and everything has to get better and better and better and better.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he said, just have a really strong work ethic.
Yeah, you have to.
So knowing what you know now, what would you tell the 1997 graduate to now, right? Was it 97 you graduated?
Well, 1997, I came to Hollywood.
Okay.
What I would have said is be laser focused. Be focused like a bullet in flight and set a definitive five-year goal. Like this, these are the goals that you're going to go after. And this is the time frame, you know, to accomplish these particular goals. And to just, you know, to stick with the winners and eliminate any distractions. You cannot be distracted in Hollywood because it will slow you down. And I think for me, I had so many interests that I was like doing an acting, and then I wanted to have the management company, and then I wanted to learn how to have a production company. And then I'm sitting in distribution meetings. Like I was trying to find out who I was. Fast forward 20 years later, I'm coming into myself, but I think I should have accomplished, you know, this, and then, you know, worked on that. But I was kind of spread thin doing everything at the same time. Like now I'm a working full-time actor, right? That's solid. That machine is running. Now I'm moving into content creating and directing and different things like that, mm-hmm. if that makes sense. But when you're trying to do everything at the same time, you're all over the place.
Yes.
So I'm selfishly laser focused.
Is your table need replaced yet? Do I need to buy you a new table? Is there like marks in it from writing?
So in my head, I'm in my production company. In my head, you know, but right now I promise you the kitchen table has been where I've created everything I've ever had in my life. My acting studio, I used to own a talent agency in Louisiana. My everything I've ever had has been created at the kitchen table.
That's going with you everywhere.
That's your space. That is your space. I have my space, my little old desk in the corner where the magic happens, my old computer. But it gets it done.
Yeah, whatever it takes to get it done. And yeah, this past 2 years, boy, woo, I'm like, all right, I think I'm you know, exiting film school and ready to get into the real world and, you know, my makeshift film school.
Well, Renee likes to ask the morning question.
Okay.
Oh, so you're so busy, you get it done. But when you get up in the morning, what stops you from hitting the snooze button and just get up and just go? What stops you from hitting that snooze button?
Sometimes I do hit the snooze button. I purposely wake myself up maybe 30 minutes before I have to get up. And then I set a snooze button 30 minutes before and then 15 minutes before. And then I have to get up. And I think what's getting me up every single day is that I work for myself. And if I don't get up and hit the street and I don't get up and sit here and work, then I'm not going to eat. You know what I mean? And there's so much to do. And I think it's just part of, you know, just being disciplined. And as well, I think discipline is something that's really, really needed in this entertainment industry, because we do set our own skills. And I think just getting up and saying, hey, from this time to this time, I'm going to write or create or do whatever I'm doing, or this time I'm going to go work out, or this time, whatever, you set a pattern for yourself because you're self-employed. Mm-hmm. Like I'll sometimes get 3 hours of sleep and I'll pop up at 6 a.m. I'm sitting facing the wall, like chair turned, and I'm grinding, and I'm like, okay, you know, and I slept 3 hours probably, you know, today, last night, maybe 3.5.
Oh my goodness, I didn't either. I woke up at like 3 a.m. and I was like, my brain was just churning. And so I started making notes to myself, and I'm like, okay, don't forget this. And then, okay, you got, and then there's this. And
yeah.
And then it was on all night long.
Yeah. Because, you know, and those are the people that make it. Some people are just going to be gifted into this. Their parents made it, or their wife, you know what I mean? But for a lot of us, we don't come from anybody that's there to open a door for us. And we have to be the person to kick that door in.
I know.
And you know, Renee, you took the position of creating opportunities for yourself. So you work and you're like, I want to be an executive producer. This is what I do. And so you created those opportunities for yourself, you know, and the same with Antoinette. You guys are like kicking in the door and creating your own opportunities. Who's going to create them for you? So, yeah, there's no time to hit a snooze button. Get up.
Yeah. Renee has to keep reminding me of that. Because last week it was like, oh, well, I'll wake up and do a 5:30 a.m. podcast if it works with someone on East Coast. And I was like, oh, 5:30. Like, I don't want to get up that early. Like, and she's like, and she's working like three jobs herself, you know? And so she had to Two. Okay, two. So she had to check me and remind me, no, you have to do it.
Like, you do.
You're getting up.
Otherwise, don't commit to something because, you know, if you're not passionate about what you're doing right now, then it won't work because you have to be willing to go to any length to get it done. Every single time I've been editing, I promise you, I've been there like 12, 15 hours. Editing is grueling on a project. And I watch my parent production company, like the director, go sometimes 16 hours. It's already been edited once by the major editors at the production company. And then he'll go 16 hours, 6 days a week to get it prepped for 2 weeks, 3 weeks to get it over to the distributors, the producing team, and then the distributors. And it takes that kind of work ethic.
It does. And I'm coming, I'm doing this and I'm doing other stuff. And how many times, Jack, have I met you running from work? You coming from work and, or I'm texting you. I'm like, well, hey, I'll be there right after I come, get off of work and everything.
Always.
You know? So it is, always. It's a commitment. And the thing is, I'm at work doing my job, you know, that my bread and butter for now, but I'm excited because it's like, I'm doing something that I want to do. So it's not work when you're doing something that you want to do. So that's, that keeps right. me going so I can do 12 hours, get off, I'm running out, go take a shower. Sometimes I have met you, Jack, somewhere and changed in my car or changed at your house or whatever. It's because I know that we got, excuse my vernacular, to do. So when you want to get stuff done, you get the energy, you find the energy. Because we only have 24 hours in a day. So if I work 12 hours, you figure I work 12 hours, sometimes 16, and then maybe get what, 3 or 4 hours of sleep. Then the rest of the time, I may eat, I may not, or I eat on the run, but it's not a lot of time. So if I have 3 hours to get it done, I have 3 hours to get it done. Mm-hmm. And I mean, that's just, and you have to be laser focused on what you want. A lot of times I'm not on Facebook, I'm not on Instagram, I'm not watching TV. Or I'm just into what I need to do. If I need to read over stuff, you know, sometimes at work, if I have downtime, like 15 minutes, I'm not taking a break. I'm reading. I'm doing stuff that I need to do to help me propel to the next level. So the thing is, I just want to be a good producer. So, you know, I want to make stuff happen. That's what I do at my former job. I'm saying my former job because it will be my former job. But I have to put the time in. It's no time for sleeping. Because when I sleep, the next person is getting it. So it's right. There's no time for sleeping. No time.
5 years ago, I seriously started, I'll say 5 years ago, really, really started interning on the producer side. And just 2 years ago, had my first screenplay optioned. So if you think about that, just that's 5 years ago, I'm starting when, you know, people started 20 years, that journey 20 years before me, right? Or 10 years before me or 15 years before me. And not to say that it's ever too late to do something, but the older you get, you're competing against people who've been doing this with a long resume. So the time to play around is not available. Like it is when you're starting out when you're 20. Advice to actors, like they want to come to Hollywood. I have one actor I mentored from Louisiana. He's now starring on ABC's Grey's Anatomy. And the first thing I told him was, you're good looking, you're 20s. If you know, he was in my acting class. He was brand new. And he was, I was training with him. And I told him, get your butt to L.A. And then within 5 years, he's on ABC's Grey's Anatomy. I'm really proud of him, you know?
Right.
So that's what it takes, you know, to do in your 20s is just go for it hardcore.
Yep.
Did he just book Grey's Anatomy?
Yeah, he did.
Tarzan?
Yep, Greg.
Ah! Oh my goodness, he was one of your students?
Yes, he was one of my students in Louisiana in my acting class. I got all kinds of pictures and videos with Greg. And, you know, he had long dreads then. I met him, I did a showcase called Staircase to Stardom. Okay. Then he came because he had heard that I had discovered Jason Mitchell. So he came and he auditioned for this showcase that I did in Louisiana. And he ended up taking my acting class. And he was in one of my final workshop showcases that I did for Talent Agent. And I was able to get him signed to his first agent in Louisiana right before. And that was in 2016, right when I headed out here to LA. And I said, you know, Greg, he had just gotten an agent in Chicago. And he's like, do I go to Atlanta? Do I go to Chicago? Do I come to LA? And I said, you better come to LA and you need to cut your hair. You know, and to see him within 5 years where he is.
Oh my goodness. Well, I met him 2019 through a friend, yeah, through their acting class. And I know him as Tarzan. I don't know him as Greg. and I started going to his acting school, his classes he was doing. So I feel like I met his mentor, you. Like, I've come full circle.
Oh my God, I taught him everything. He used to sit up under me after class was over and we would get a monitor and beat by beat, we would walk through his performances that he did on screen. So yeah, another person, I'm another little girl starring on Fargo on FX. So it's been a lot of, you know, that's been something that I'm truly proud of, the mentorship that I've done with, you know, these the young kids and the young adults. Like I said, I'm really proud of Greg too. And within 5 years to see him shining on Grey's Anatomy.
So if you, I was always interested in, you know, becoming an actor since I was young. So like, would you say if for some little girl out there listening, if that's what you want to do?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Absolutely.
I would say the first thing you should do is just do acting class and see if you like it. You have to love it. Kids would come into my studio and I could tell who wanted to be there and who wanted to go play. And sometimes it'd be siblings and one was really into acting and the other wanted to do dance or the other wanted to cheerlead. And I would always tell the parents, you have to allow them to want to do this. You can't push this for them. So I have thousands of kids later, you know, it's exciting to see where they are and what they've done with their careers.
Okay, if you wanna go into our new segment, our time capsule, music time machine.
Yes.
So I listened to Howard Stern and I wanna say it was Coldplay on, but he said that the best time machine was music. So we came up with some songs that we wanna play for you. And just to go back and have that time machine, right? Because we can't build it yet. So music is our time machine.
Okay, let's go. Baby, shoot.
Ooh. That's on, baby. No, not you. You, the bow-legged one. Yeah. What's your name? Damn, baby. That sounds sexy.
Here I go. Again, girls, what's my weakness?
Men!
Okay, then chillin', minding my business. Your souls, I looked around and I couldn't believe this. I swear, I stand, my niece, my witness. The brother had it going over something kind of, weak.
It was like the perfect song that we came up with.
Yes.
Look, so still when dancing. I introduced this, and she was like, she's like, Salt and Pepper is the first thing that came to Renee's mind. And then I was like, Push It's Too Easy. And then all of a sudden it was like, Shoop. And yeah, like, so for me, it takes me back to, high school, right? And singing in my living room with, you know, MTV on and just knowing all the words. And talking to my girlfriend on the phone.
Yeah, it's a really fun, upbeat song. And I think some songs just live forever, no matter what generation you were introduced to it. You know, it just is going to be catchy forever. And that made me want to go get in like a little spin class.
I told you, Antoinette.
Yeah, I like that. Thank you.
So the second one that we picked for you is what it's just you. Mm-hmm. It's just what you represent. And when I heard it and I thought about it, I said, that's Jack. So mm-hmm. Here's the next one.
Yeah.
Work.
Where you work.
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 Yeah, you nailed it.
Now, the third one, Jack, so you've been in over 100 films, right?
Film, TV, and commercials, industrials, collectively, and theater plays. Yes, 100 projects.
So would you say that with all the stuff you've done, you have remembered all the fine details for each film?
That's a lot of pressure.
Definition of fine details means.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, we're going to play one for you, and you have to tell me what film you were on, what role you played.
Oh, goodness.
Where is the soundtrack from? We're talking about Jack Fleming's. So this would be fun.
Okay.
No pressure. No pressure.
It is pressure. She's Jack Fleming's. Yeah. Let it play. She's thinking. Just let it play. Did you have it, Jackie?
Yeah, I'm like, the only project that I did that I remember having a super big soundtrack was Love Jones, but I don't know if Maxwell was on it, but I know Love Jones had an incredible soundtrack.
It was that song.
The soundtrack was so incredible in that film, they re-released it to the box office just because it was just so popular.
So I figured you would like that sound, but it was just trivia to see if you remembered like the finer details, like the songs or what was going on in the era. And I remember your role. You was a side piece on that, right? When Love Jones,
oh,
right?
Oh, no.
Yeah, because that's the song that that came on when he and Lea Long was together. So that was the song.
I think I was a person of interest and we had one good night together.
Okay. Yeah.
Well, that's the most dreaded thing about being an actor is like, oh, can I please not be hooker number 5 this time?
Like everybody was rooting for you know, when you meet somebody and you get in a relationship and you really are digging this person and then you guys break up and you meet somebody else that you could actually have a relationship with. But you still, there's something about that other person. Mm-hmm. That's what it was, you know, in the movie. And a lot of people.
That was what it was. Yeah.
They were like, oh, but then some people were like, girl, you better go get your man from her. Yeah. I think that's the first time I've been showcased, like, in the cover of the soundtrack.
That CD for Love Jones was fire.
So what do you have coming out? Like, we would love to plug your next movie, your next series.
A ton of stuff that's movies and TV shows right now. But like I said, I'm about to go into production on 2 feature films. One of them I can't mention because a deadline post is going to be, it's going to come out on it. The other feature film, it'll be my first film project. I'm actually filming in Los Angeles and I'm like the lead. It's a heavy commitment. So starting the year off with 2 films. And my pitch meetings and and my pitch meetings for my film and TV projects. So it's exciting already.
Yes,
it is.
Well, congratulations. If we can do a quick rapid fire question little bit and just the first thing that pops to your head when we go over the questions. So like we'd like to start, what's your favorite book?
My favorite book, it's actually, I have a lot, but fiction-wise, I love Passport Diaries. And that, to me, was one of the most entertaining and fun, livid little vivacious books about 4 women friends that I've ever read. Passport Diaries.
What's your number one advice for self-care?
Water and sleep, prayer and meditation. It's actually 4 things.
How often do you meditate?
Every single morning, like every single day, I have to take a moment and just say, hey, order my steps today.
Do you play a certain music or is it just silence?
I do a lot of silence because I believe in manifestation. I'm manifesting, or if I'm sitting here at the table and I take a moment and close my eyes, I'm really manifesting what it is that I want.
Your best investment from 2021, under $100.
It had to be those little bands. those little workout bands. And I've been able to work out no matter where I am. They just fold up and go in your purse. And I could be sitting at the table doing this.
Oh, my gosh. All right. I'm putting that in my Amazon cart now.
Yes.
Must have, like, for real.
If you could have coffee with one person, who would it be?
Ava DuVernay.
Wow. You said that quick.
Yeah.
Is it planning it? Yeah. It's like, because you always do the Starbucks. So is it already planned? Jack? Because you know everyone. So you're probably meeting with Ava next week, right? Because you know everyone. She's probably meeting with her next week, Antoinette. So, yeah.
Well, if not, I'm sure someone in my vegan community can get you in touch with her.
Yes.
It's on your vision board. That's going to happen.
There's another woman in the industry, you know, that I'm truly, truly like. She's really a big wig, and I'm so inspired by her. And but yeah, you know, I would love to sit. I just love to sit down with people from acquisition and stuff like that, and producers, TV producers, and things.
Okay, what's the first thing you do every morning?
The first thing I do every morning is I get up and I just take a breath. I immediately brush my teeth, wash my face, give myself a cup of coffee, and I sit down and I start a little prayer meditation type thing, and then I get dressed.
Okay. Last question. Mm-hmm. If you could switch careers tomorrow, what would you try?
It would either be a television producer or a director, film producer, any kind of producer, major producer, and or director. It would still be in the same lane.
Yeah, I'm with you. I feel the same. Okay, so thank you for being here and being our leading lady. There's so much love that I feel like is in the room here. If we want to see your movies, if we want to get in touch with you, how can people find you?
You can look me up on social media. I believe it's my name on Facebook, Jacqueline Fleming, JAQUELINE. And then my last name, Fleming, FLEMING. And I'm on IG as I am Jacqueline Fleming. I'm on Twitter as Jack Fleming. My nickname is Jack, JAQ.
Mm-hmm. Yes. You can
find my movies everywhere, literally everywhere. Tubi, All Black, Netflix, Hulu. I'm on something on every platform.
Yeah.
Yes. Literally. Well, thank you for being our leading lady today.
Thank you.
It was an honor to have you.
Yes.
And thanks for all of you tuning in to this week's episode. For more of our content, you can follow us on social media at HeapEnt. That's HEEPENT. And if you have feedback, questions, collab pitches, or anything you want to tell us, you can reach out to our team at HeapEnt@gmail.com. Until next time.
Until next time, ladies. I'll see you on set real soon.
See you on set.